If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 409. This is our 2026 Rocket Classic Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanran and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's PGA Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And, of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website, where we have my betting preview for the Rocket Classic. Paul has been in the stats lab pulling together this week's data. We have Detroit Golf Club strokes gained rankings, detailed course form, player form and combi sheets, new and old predictor models for the Rocket Classic PGA Tour action this week. All of our content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall. There is no registration required. Follow us on X. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. We're on Blue Sky. Search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available each and every week. If you are listening on YouTube, press that subscribe button. It's always nice if you could click the like button as well for the algorithm. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or YouTube. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. This is from Gary McClay, and his geography is unknown. The Golf Betting System Review is the title. 5 stars. Entertaining show. Very factual and helpful at times. But let's face it, it's just three guys who bet losers just like the rest of us. Get a winner every now and again, just like the rest of us. I download the podcast and listen to them while driving, and it helps quicken the journey. I used to hate the theme tune, but now I love it. So much so, a bit drunk at a house party not long ago, we were all having a sing-song. When the opportunity presented itself, I belted out, "If you love betting on golf..." Well, you could have heard a pin drop. I was singing solo. There's a surprise. I muddled my way through it. It was not good, but I didn't care. So in short, I can't bet a winner and don't get invited to house parties anymore. So thanks for that. Gary, thank you very much for your 5-star review. Much appreciated.
Brilliant stuff, Gary. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall for that. That would have been hilarious, I think.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those ones like, oh, the Graham could please swallow me up right now. It would be just wonderful.
Oh, dear.
We're a niche. That's the point. On your reviews, just where you are, what part of the world, always great. We've got some reviews, a steady flow coming in, but keep them coming. They're very, very important for iTunes. They're very important for YouTube. The more comments we can get on the videos, the better. Also, if you are listening on Spotify, press that 5-star button. We're approaching, not a million miles away from 1,000 5-star likes. So that's a real milestone on Spotify. So all you've got to do is literally press the 5-star button on Spotify. Right, let's talk last week, chaps. I was absolutely nowhere. I think I got 2 in the top 20. Kevin Yu and my friend Neergaard Pettersson. No real runners in the race at all. A real drag strip, wasn't it? And we had Jackson Koivun, who we'd spent some time at the John Deere Classic explaining what a fantastic amateur this guy was. It was just his third appearance as a professional, and he goes and wins his first PGA Tour title, beating the world number one, Scottie Scheffler, into second place. Now, you've got to say, you know, Sheffield was quite a few back. He was five groups back, so 50 minutes back in terms of his Sunday start. But you would have seen, and a lot of the people around Kuyven in those last groups were shooting over par, but he showed real resolve, I thought, and just, you can tell this guy is going to win a lot of golf tournaments, the way that he just kind of dealt with the pressure very, very easily in relative terms. Just to run you through a number of appearances as a professional before PGA Tour win. His three appearances is level with Matthew Wolff, who won the 2019 3M Open. Tiger Woods, it took him five appearances when he won the 1996 Las Vegas International. Colin Morikawa, it took him six appearances. Then he won the 2019 Barracuda Championship. Ludvig Åberg, 11 appearances. He won the 2023 RSM Classic. And Victor Hovland, 12 PGA Tour appearances. He then took out the 2020 Puerto Rico Open. So there's some good names there. And Jackson Kuyven has put himself joint top of that list. What were your thoughts on the 3M Open, chaps?
It was seriously impressive, and he looks like a seriously impressive player. I mean, we could all, and as good the book is, we could all see the quality that's there, because for him to be priced up at, 28-1, I think.
28-1 with Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah.
With Bet365.
He's in that kind of bracket on his third start, and you're thinking, well, that's a leap of faith to be able to go there. But in the end, it proved to be fully justified because, as you say, he was just unflappable down the stretch. Yeah. That Saturday was the round that obviously gave him the grounds and the foundation to actually go forward and win that. But to shoot 15 under over the weekend, and as you say, to hold the world number one off, who's kind of marauding through the pack, you just got to doff your cap, haven't you? Simple as that.
Would have been, like, it's revisionist history so easy. If he was, you know, it kind of makes sense, if he was going to win early on in his career, like he just did, it would be on, it could, should be on a, like a track where you can go and score really heavily. He's just got freedom. He's not battling anything particularly difficult or quirky about the golf course. It's just go score loads of birdies. Now, that said, we've come up with a variety of donkey reasons to back a whole bunch of shitty bets over the years. So the leap of faith. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should have. Maybe we shouldn't have. It was a weakened field. Mm. On to this week, I suppose. He was really good. What I thought was really cool was as the pressure was ramping up, he just seemed to be swinging harder and harder. He was just trusting what he had and just going for it, which was great to see. There's no backing down. There's no fear. It was just, we're going for it. We're dealing with the consequences. Holding off Scottie Scheffler is no mean feat. A lot of people have crumbled.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. What did we think to Michael Kim's 59?
Yeah, it was some cracking scores out there generally, wasn't there? Kim 59, as you said, Kuyven 61. Ben Cole's open with 62, I think, didn't he? So he was right in the mix as well. But yeah, that's that kind of course where you can go out there and shoot an incredibly low round when it all clicks. And yeah, I mean, for him to make the birdie on the last, you know, we were kind of watching it or following it in real time, and he properly bailed out of that the drive to make sure he didn't go in the water on the on his final hole, to playing it as a three shotter effectively, and then had to nail, what was it, 22, 24 foot or something like that to make the 59. But yeah, brilliant. He was delighted. It was, and you know, Michael Kim's such a good follow on X. There's so much information he gives. So it was always going to be one of those where he kind of was quite vocal about the way that he got there. So if you haven't seen the thread, he talks through the different holes and how he was feeling on various parts on X. Well worth a look. But yeah, always good to see. Another one of the 59 club.
It's a pretty long list, actually.
Mm, yeah.
It is a pretty long list. It's also interesting, we were discussing this during the tournament, Michael Kim shoots 59 in round two. It's quite interesting. You've got a number of 59s that were shot in round one, during the tournament, and they don't go on to win.
Mm.
Jake Knapp, round one, 2025 Cognizant last year, finished sixth. Hayden Springer, 2024 John Deere Classic, shoots a 59. That was round one, finished seventh. Cam Young, 2024 Travelers, that was round three, fair enough. He finished tied ninth. Even Scotty Scheffler, 2020 FedEx St. Jude Championship in round two, shoots a 59. He went on to finish fourth. So when they shoot these low scores, it doesn't mean that they necessarily automatically go on to win. The most recent that did was Brant, and I was on him, Brant Schnedeker, 2018 Wyndham. He shot 59 and he went on to win. And it was one of those wins where it was kind of nails on the glass. He was, I think he only won it on the 18th on Sunday. I'm trying to remember who he was in a head-to-head with. Doug Gim or somebody. He managed to scramble over the line at 28-1. But yes, shooting 59 often means that, you know, if you want to, tournament situation, actually bet lay that particular individual when they're at the top of the betting market, because they don't tend to actually win.
Yeah, I guess you've got the kind of the adrenaline from having gone through that whole that round and the plaudits that you get after that, and quite rightly so. And then I guess the next day is going to be a little bit of a come down whichever way you look at it.
Yeah, it's going to try to get a little bit better than yesterday.
What do we think to Koivun moving forward? Because he's now a real cog in this betting scenario over the next few weeks.
Mm.
Now, I'm jumping the gun here, but if we're looking at the Bet365 prices right now for this week's tournament, he is joint second favourite at 16-1 with Chris Gotterup and Xander Schauffele. But the thing with Koivun is, okay, he, for winning, is exempt through to the end of 2028 now. So he's got a guaranteed virtually two and a third years on the PGA Tour. He's eligible for next year's Players. He's qualified for the Masters and he's into the PGA next year through that win. But you actually look at his FedEx Cup ranking. He's now jumped to number 70 in the FedEx Cup rankings, which means he's on the bubble to get into the playoffs. And don't forget, let's go into the detail now. We've got this week's Rocket Classic. We've got next week's Wyndham, and that is the close of the regular season. So at that point, they'll take the top 70 in the FedEx Cup rankings, and those 70 will go down to Memphis to play the FedEx St. Jude Championship. From that point, 70 become 50 to go to the BMW. Those top 50 then get auto... I mean, if you haven't already won or you haven't got previous exemptions, that 50 then automatically get full playing privileges for next year, 2027, and they will also qualify for all of the signature events. So you can see these are big milestones. And from the top 50 at the BMW, it goes to the top 30 that fight it out, as Tommy Fleetwood did last year and won the Tour Championship, took home the FedEx Cup. So these weeks now, for all of the players, are pretty important on the basis of there's a load of players still scrambling around to even get into near the top 100 for their cards. There's the top 70 cut-off, blah, 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 blah. Koivun is sitting there at number 70. So, of course, he's won. He's taken out his first PGA Tour pro title. A man of this guy's ability must be thinking, well, actually, I need to make a run here to guarantee myself at least getting a decent position in the playoffs. And then he'll be gunning for that tour championship. So I don't think Koivun is the kind of player that's just going to disappear off leaderboards. The trouble is, you're backing him as second favourite.
You've now given a young lad the maximum amount of confidence he could hope for after three starts on the PGA Tour. He doesn't know or doesn't have the boundaries or the mental boundaries that other golfers who are a bit more experienced have. So off he goes. There's no scar tissue. There's no self-limiting beliefs at this stage. Yeah, that's it.
He's just playing good golf.
Am I going to back him to win 2 weeks in a row? I don't think so, but because statistically it's unlikely, but it will not shock me to see him up there in the top 10 this week.
No, it's not out of the realms of possibility by any stretch.
I try and think about previous scenarios with, you know, top quality young players. And I remember a few years ago, Tom Kim. Now, he won the Wyndham, didn't he? And then a few outings later, in the fall, he won the Shriners. So you do get this scenario of young, talented golfers that are in great form that can string a few wins together late on in the season. Mm. Just one to keep an eye on, I think. Tee to green top 10s from last week, the 3M Open. Koivun, amazingly, was number one. Davis Thompson was two. Billy Horschel was three. Griot, four. Ben Coles, five. Matsuyama, six. Brian Harman, seven, with Kevin Streelman. Nine. Still bumbling along, just under the surface, Tom Kim. And number 10. He's becoming a bit of a cult on this podcast. Njegard Pettersson. There you go. That was the top 10 tee to green from last week. Mm. Anything else to say, or shall we move on to this week's Rocket Classic?
No, I don't think so. Just an impressive young man. And I'd be fascinated to see where he goes from here.
Be interesting to see if he can scramble into... You know, you get this stuff. Scramble into the President's Cup team from America. Not that we're putting any pressure on the young chap.
Yeah.
Detroit Golf Club, Rocket Classic. This is the last time we're seeing this tournament, apparently, because Quicken Loans, who were the force behind this tournament, aren't putting forward a massive bundle of cash to extend it moving forward. So, the other thing that complicates this week is, as you do when you know that the tournament's about to disappear, they basically put in a ridiculously expensive renovation to this golf course. And it's made some quite significant changes, even across the agronomy. So it's a Donald Ross original. So if we're thinking Donald Ross originals that they play regularly on the PGA Tour, I think Aronimink, where they held the PGA this year. The East Course at Oak Hill, number of PGAs. East Lake, where they play the Tour Championship every year. We've also got Sedgefield Country Club, where they play the Wyndham Championship. And of course, the masterpiece that is Mark Pinehurst number two, 2014-2024 US Open. So they're Ross designs to have a look. And if you want to look, if you're a bit of a course, a designer form buff, go and have a look at some leaderboards there. But this golf course has received a renovation over the last 12 months. They effectively, apparently, pretty much drove onto the course on the Monday after the tournament finishing last year. What have they done? Well, they've changed the par. So all of a sudden, last year's par 70 becomes... 72 becomes a par 70. They've taken some of the length out. 7,370 yards last year becomes 7,328 yards for a par 70. So I would classify that for our predictor model as medium length golf course. They've taken away the one pond which created a water hazard on one of the holes, so there are literally no water hazards on this golf course. They've increased the number of bunkers up to 103. I think that's up around 20. They've also increased the width of lots of the fairways. So they've increased the fairway acres from 30 to 32. Now, what they seem to have done, though, is pinched in a number of... they've pinched a number of fairways in at kind of 300 yards. So we're looking at fairway widths at 26 yards. Now, that compares to 36 yards last week at TPC Twin Cities. Agronomy. We've got changes here as well. This always used to be a bent poana mixed golf course in terms of the greens. Well, they basically relayed 18 greens. So they are now pure bent grass. They've also increased the size of those greens because Donald Ross courses are well known for large, tilting, back-to-front, contoured green surfaces. Well, that's what they've kind of done here. So from 5,100 square feet, they've increased them to 6,700 square feet on average. They feature bent grass in terms of their agronomy. They've also added loads and loads of tall fescue around the golf course. Now, whether that comes into play or whether a lot of it is just for members to, you know, it looked like a lot of fescue between tee boxes and fairways, that kind of thing. But you've got tall fescue mixed with bluegrass. They're quoting the length of the rough as of last year at 4 inches. So we were talking about this off mic. I mean, it's all guesswork. But what they definitely have done is change two of the par fives, which used to play at 592 and 561. They've changed them into long par fours measuring 505 yards and 537 yards. Now that's a booming par four right there.
Par four.
That has to bring the winning scores down. Mm. It has to. Now, just to run through those winning scores, Pat Geeta won at 22 under par last year. Cam Davis 18 under. That was particularly windy. Then Ricky Fowler, we won him at 14-1 that year. He won at 24 under par. Tony Finau, 26 under par. And Bryson DeChambeau won this in 2020 at 23 under par. Now, pure guesswork, but we have put this into the predictor model. Just for the predictor model clarification, I'm classifying this golf course as classical. It is beautiful. It's old style. It's parkland. It's tree lined. I'm classifying it as a mid-score test, where it used to be classified as a resort-level scoring test. And I am classifying it as a medium-length golf course at 7,328 yards. My gut feel here is, bearing in mind the weather forecast is for low winds and extremely hot conditions, they are going to have to water these bent grass greens. But as we know, this is where I'm kind of torn. Newly relayed greens do tend in the first year to repel approach shots. They're also saying that all of these greens have been completely recontoured. So no players in this field that have even played the golf course over previous years will actually know exactly how these greens are going to play in terms of the breaks. Mm. I'm guessing 17, 18 under par wins it. Pure guesswork.
Yeah, I think if you assume that last year, and I haven't got the numbers, so I am just guessing. If you assume that last year the two par fives that have been converted to fours played at, say, 4.7, 4.8, and they now, as par fours, play to, let's say, 4.2, 4.3, then what's that? That's a shot per round. So four shots over the course of the tournament. Difference again, that's guesswork, and we'll see what actually happens. But yeah, it may just be for scorecard or aesthetics, effectively, to make it look less of a birdie fest and more of a challenge, which it will be. You know, a 537 yard par four isn't sure, it's long.
Makes you breathless, and that's that's a 17, so it's like, yeah, okay. It's coming close on, go make par. when it's coming down the stretch on Sunday. I wonder if there's a bit of a downhill to that. That's a chunky hole.
Yeah, and they've probably got different tee positions there, and they may shorten it. It may play just under 500 yards one or two of the days. I don't know. We'll see. But I think that the it will bring the winning total down if everything else remained equal a bit.
The mad thing is that's the kind of distance of a hole needs to be to put a proper test of a driver and a long iron into a pro's hands. Which is it's just bonkers.
Yeah, but it may, often at the end of a round, you'll have a drivable par four or, an island par three or something that's can be pivotal to the way that the tournament unfolds down the stretch. And if you've got a 530-yard par four as the penultimate hole on Sunday, then that could sort the men out from the boys.
Now, in the past, this golf course was a bomber's paradise. And I was listening to Rick Rungood's YouTube show today, actually, early this morning. And he said, statistically, this golf course, prior to this renovation, had the least detrimental effect if you missed the fairway of any course on the PGA Tour. It was pure and utter bomb and gouge. And you can see that with the winners, can't you? I mean, the first, not the first one, that was Nate Lashley, but the second one, I think they actually did a piece of work on the course after Nate Lashley won. Bryson DeChambeau. He just literally just ripped this course apart. And you've got other, Aldridge Potgieter won here last year.
Yep.
Tony Finau's not the shortest. Cam Davis, especially the year that he won it, the first one, 21, another big bombing Australian golfer. So I can see the logic. Power off the tee this week, or has been to this point, very important. You also get a lot of players in the mix when you just look at the top of leaderboards here that are positional golfers with fantastic approach play. Chris Kirk was in the mix last year. We've got Aaron Ray in 2024. He was right up there. Eric Cole. So you can be short. Adam Hadwin got into a playoff with Ricky Fowler in 2023. So you can be short. Lucas Glover was in the mix last week at 300-1. So you can be short and a decent iron player and get right into the mix here. But you're going to get a lot of focus this week, I think, in terms of people's betting selections, but also in terms of DraftKings and the like, on big hitting golfers. Let's just hope that the golf course, on that basis, pretty much remains the same in terms of its ability not to punish the errant off the tee. But I've gone for a mix with my selection. I've got some power guys in there, but I've also got one player that is literally picking apart golf courses really nicely at the moment, but not with power, just with accuracy. Just hope that he has a decent putting week. Let's take you through the top of the market in terms of prices. Now, these prices are from Bet365 in their 8 places each way market via their each way extra facility. I grabbed these at 7 a.m. Tuesday morning UK time. Cam Young, 10-1 favourite. We've already said this. Gotterup, Koivun and Schauffele at 16-1. Siwoo Kim at 18-1. Wyndham Clark at 20-1. Cantlay and Henley. I mean, there's two names put together. Patrick Cantlay and Russell Henley at 22-1. Hideki at 25-1. Ben Griffin and Jake Knapp at 28-1. Ryan Gerrard and JJ Spawn at 30s. Akshay Bhatia at 33-1. It's 35-1 bar. Love the field. Absolutely love the field. It's a really good renewal. Some real quality players in there. Young, Gotterup can't stop winning this season. You've got Xander, who's having a bit of a sticky patch. Siwoo Kim, who was right in the mix at the Open. Wyndham Clark, who won the US Open. also two-time winner this year. So you've got a very strong field. Matsuyama in there. We won't mention Russell Henley. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this tournament. I'm looking forward to the new golf course. There's lots to play for. Now, I've gone for five. How many have you gone for, Paul, just for my reference, and what's your lowest price point? Because I know that Barry's working his out right now.
It's a new course. Give me a break. I mean, I'm always super prepared and have my picks set way before we record. I've a couple in mind so far.
Okay. I've got three, 28, 70, and 150 in my three prices.
What price point are you coming in at, Barry? Or was that a question too far?
Actually, annoyingly, I arrived at the same as one of your later ones, the 50-1.
Oh, right.
Not annoyingly. Well, I mean, we can fail together, so it kind of just matches the review we got earlier, which is nice. So, okay. Stick true to form.
I thought you were going to say one of my lower price selections. That did surprise me. Okay, right. I know where you're at.
I'm curious about number two. Debating it. I don't know. Might just auto bet because, and then one long shot. Just got to figure out the max places.
My top tip. I've taken him in a three place each way market with Bet365. The price has gone up overnight. I got him at 16-1. He's now available live at 18-1. He was playing such fantastic golf on Sunday at the Open. Just off the tee, he looked so focused. He just looked like he was on autopilot. He's played here three times. He's finished second and sixth. I just had to put some money. So I worked 2 points each way, 16-1, on that three place each way market with Bet365 on Cam Young. Tournament favourite. If he plays anywhere near the golf he was playing on Friday and Sunday at the Open, he's going to take a lot of catching. So, very rare I back favourites, but yeah, I'm on Cam Young. What about you, Paul? So you're coming in at 28-1. What's your top selection?
Yeah, I've gone with Hideki for this, and I think the logic of that is with this new course, well, not new course, but with the renovation and the greens, as you kind of alluded to, and I think you're absolutely right, when they go and relay greens like this, no matter how much water they put on there, there's still going to be, you know, bedding in, there's still going to be a bit bouncy. And I think that might put a bit of a premium on scrambling and strokes gain around the greens. Because Hideki, if you look at what he's done recently, and headline results have been quite good. 14th for the Travelers, 14th at the Open after a relatively slow start as well. Third last week with a decent final three rounds, 65, 65, 64. Even with those decent results, the approach play for Hideki hasn't been quite there, but the short game has been outstanding. I mean, that was helped by his chipping on the final hole last week. But he led the field for strokes gain around the green last week, 85% scrambling. And I think that if this course plays the way that I think it will, then there's going to be, I think you're going to need to be a good ball striker, but I think there's going to be, the deciding factor could well be what you do around the greens. So on that basis, with Hideki playing so well in that respect, I think he's a bet this week. He was sixth for strokes gained tee to green last week, as you mentioned in your preamble. That's the best that he's achieved on that stat since January. So that's kind of coming to the fore. He was 13th here last year. He led strokes gained approach on the course last year. Of course, it's changed a little bit, but I think aesthetically, in terms of sight lines, you know, we're still talking about the same course in that respect. So perhaps some of the vibes of how he approached that, no pun intended, last year comes back to him, and he kind of combines that with the short game that's been pretty magical. So yeah, I'm hoping that I'm kind of logical comes together this week. And yeah, took Hideki 28-1 with the 8 place options. He opened at 33s in a few places with the standard prices, but 28 with 8 seemed like a good combo to me.
God, Paul, that's such a mature approach to a bet, like taking the the extra places. I struggle to catch Hideki over the last while. Every time I think, oh yeah, he's coming into that bit of form, I back him. But yeah, just catching bits and pieces of him last week, I was thinking maybe he just holds the form and keeps going into for the next few weeks. But yeah, in particular, this being the next tournament, thought, yeah, could be one. So I am mulling him over, or had been.
Have I convinced you then, Barry?
Possibly, yeah. This might be the easiest bets I've ever had to make. But yeah, I think it was there in the back of my head, just, you know, when he pops, and knowing how Steve used to track him quite heavily on him telegraphing his wins.
He's gained 3 straight off the tee, which has been his trouble all year. All of a sudden, he's found the driver. So last week, he gained 3.084 strokes off the tee. Now, just to put, you mentioned this, Paul. His around the green game last week, he gained 8.17 strokes around the green in total. Apparently, since strokes gained became a thing on the PGA Tour, that is within the top 25 or 30 around the green performances ever on the PGA Tour. He must have been literally chipping in and holding in from everywhere.
Impressive.
He is the sort, though, isn't he? He's the sort. And it was interesting. I mean, again, I'm looking at data from a previous style of golf course. This will have changed slightly. But what was noticeable here compared to, say, the 3M Open last week, where that was a relatively small 0.20 gained around the green for winners over the last 6 years, this jumps to 0.60 here on this classical golf course. So there you go. Last 5 winners here, on average, have gained per round 0.6 around the greens. That does scream Hideki Matsuyama. The only thing in my mind with him is, and this is just me saying stuff to be pedantic on a podcast, is for me, he grabs me more as a FedEx St. Jude Championship winner in 2 weeks' time than a Rocket Classic winner right now.
Mm.
He takes out big titles, doesn't he? Genesis Invitational, FedEx St. Jude. His last win was the Century last year in 25 at Kapalua. What was the one? It was Riviera this year, wasn't it? When you were, but you are the Matsuyama whisperer, Paul.
Well, occasionally.
So I wouldn't put anyone off backing him if you're on him.
What he can do, particularly when he finds the putter, is he can get hot for a period of time. So should he go well this week, I don't think that should put you or anyone off him at in Memphis, because, yeah, you're right. I think, you know, in terms of linking up to his skill sets, that's, you know, perhaps even more appropriate. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how he goes. I think he's got a good chance this week. Yeah, given the field and the field strength, then, you know, perhaps it does whet his appetite this week and he goes and gives it full beans.
We'll 3.4 strokes across the 72 holes for strokes gained putting. He was 17th. So, yeah, you're right. When Matsuyama actually finds the putter, it doesn't last for long, but this is when he tends to win golf tournaments.
Mm.
One to keep an eye on. I think we can all agree on that for sure. I've gone for my second selection. I managed to get 30-1 with Boyle Sports, 10 places each way. Thanks to Boyle Sports for that. Jake Knapp. Now, he was a sea of blue on Oddschecker as soon as the prices started coming up. And you can see why. Bombers golf course, allegedly. He birdied 8 of the closing 9 holes at the 3M Open. He finished 13th. He shot a 62 on Sunday. The other thing with Jake is He is a PGA Tour winner. He won the 2024 Mexico Open at Vedanta World. That's interesting, that golf course. Tony Finau has a first and second there. Aldridge Podgieter was second there last year in a playoff, beaten by the shortest player on the PGA Tour, Brian Campbell. The vagaries of golf betting, I know. That's a bomber's golf course. This has been a bomber's golf course to this point. He's finished 31st here in 2025. He was 2024. He was fourth here last year. He was second after 54 holes. So I'm on Jake Knapp. Jake Knapp, 1.5 points each way, 30 to 1 Ball Sports, 10 places each way on Knapp. Barry? When I mention Jake Knapp, I always ask you the obvious question.
Well, what was going through my mind on Sunday when I saw him, you know, just making birdies for fun was, this is great for his price or for his form. And then he continues to make birdies. I went, this is just terrible because it's going to clip his price by a good chunk. And yeah, unfortunately, it kind of has. But yeah, I just think, can't be price proud here. There's too many good signs there. Even just a couple of missed cuts, which he had preceding this, they weren't bad missed cuts. I think he missed like maybe just by one or two shots. Like there was good consistency in there in the Scottish and the Open Championship. He's coming back from his thumb injury, just figuring stuff out. So that's as good a sign as you can have for one of the nicest swings you'll ever see. At the very least, you'll have a great time watching him, even if he fails.
He's a lovely guy, Jake Knapp. I love him as a player to watch. The other thing is, you just look at his profile on the PGA Tour website. He's absolutely mint from 175 yards to 225 with his approaches. So this course change with the par fives, you're going to have some lengthy approaches into those holes.
Mm.
I think it fits right into Knapp's wheelhouse. So I'm in on Knapp. I've also gone 1.5 points each way, 33 to 1. This was with Betfred, 8 places each way, on another player who's got some very impressive long iron game. He was also top 10 at the Open a fortnight ago. It's funny with this individual. He is now a member of the world's top 30. And I'm just comparing that to this time or just a little bit later last year. He played Wentworth. He played the PGA Tour event in Japan. He then played Abu Dhabi Championship on the DP World Tour. And then he had to play the Mauritius Open in the depths of late November, early December. And that was all to scrape into the world's top 50, which he achieved to get his Masters invite. So it shows you the kind of character you're dealing with here. Determined. Just, he loves to play a lot of golf. Ryan Gerrard, I'm on him. That ninth place at the Open a fortnight ago was his second top nine major finish in 6 appearances. He was 8th at last year's PGA at Quail Hollow. He's only got one PGA Tour victory. That was the opposite event, Barracuda, last year. I think they played that opposite to the Open, potentially.
Yeah.
Just love Gerrard. The fact that he's long enough. He's no bomber, but he's certainly Ricky Fowler in length, who won here a few years ago. He can get it out there. But this Gerrard, he's one of these players that you don't really notice. But you listen to this. And this is kind of setting me up for heartbreak. I get that. But second at the Sony Open. Second at the American Express. He was second at the Memorial just 4 weeks ago. Oh, sorry, just 4 starts ago. Second, second, second. That was when he lost out to JT Poston at the Memorial. So it could have been Ryan Gerrard shaking Jack Nicklaus's hand, not JT Poston. tie that in with his top 10 last week in Lancashire or Merseyside. And then you just look at his numbers. He's 8th for par 4 birdie or better, and he's 22nd for par 4 scoring average. So his favourite holes tend to be the par 4s, not the par 5s. So again, I think this switch will work in his favour. We mentioned him in the top 10 list from the Open a couple of podcasts ago. He was 8th for tee to green at Birkdale. So I'm on Ryan Gerrard. I'll get there eventually. 1.5 points each way, 33-1. That was with Betfred. 8 places each way via their Pick Your Place promotion. Right, Paul, over to you.
Yeah, the kind of mid-price I've backed is Michael Kim. And you'll be impressed with this one, Barry, as well. I backed him at 70-1 with 10 places with Ladbrokes rather than taking the 80s or even 100-1 out there, which is with the bog standard 5 places. I must have...
you must be on your wrong Barry, meds. You must have mixed up your meds, Paul, for sure.
He's going through some kind of metamorphosis here, Paul.
Midlife crisis? I don't know.
That's exactly what it is, Barry. It's a midlife crisis, I think. Desperately trying to get a return is probably nearer the truth. But so Michael Kim, 70-1. Mr. 59 last week, we've talked about him already, haven't we? I think it's difficult to control the adrenaline after you've got a round like that. But I think going forward, that's got to give him massive confidence, and I think it will. Won the French Open last year on the DP World Tour. We saw that came off the back of a 10th place finish on his penultimate start. So his 10th place finish last week in the end kind of correlates to that with that to a degree. Second in Texas earlier in the year, so has gone close this season. 61st in the FedEx Cup. So I think he just needs a little bit of a push here to make sure that he's completely safe of making TPC Southwind in a couple of weeks' time. So I don't think he'll take his foot right off the accelerator this week. At least I hope not, anyway. Second after day one here back in 2024. He was 26th here last year when coming in pretty poor form, really, so perhaps he improves on that this week with a decent finish. But yeah, top 10 please, Michael Kim, and we move on, or even win it. That would be good.
Barry, who's your around that 50-1 selection you mentioned a few minutes ago?
That's Davis Thompson.
Talk us through it.
It was just a really good combination of form last week. Just the last 3 years here, just 24th, second, 34th. Just a good combination of, you know, venue and recent form equals a kind of an appealing bet around the 50-1 mark. It wasn't really too much rocket science.
He tends to be well marked price wise, Thompson. I always think. He always seems to be a little bit on the short side. Because I'm not suggesting that's a negative thing, by the way. I'm just suggesting that I think from a strokes game perspective, he's one of these guys that clearly ticks all the boxes, and the layers, the compilers always shave 5 or 10 points off his price. I'll tell you what I like about him this week, because I'm on him as well. I know this sounds a bit crazy, but I like to look at the landscape of where winners come from. So if I'm looking at the tournament that has been the tournament 2 weeks before the regular season has ended, now that has, over the last 3 years, actually been the 3M Open. And the winning prices of that have been 40-1, 80-1 and 90-1. And their FedEx Cup rankings have been 110, 149 and 74. So players way outside the playoff picture. So if I was trying to link someone that was deeper in the FedEx Cup standings, in decent form and improving, and at a kind of odds that you were looking at previous winners at this particular milestone over the last 3 years on the PGA Tour, I came to Davis Thompson, because he's 93rd in the FedEx Cup. Don't forget, we've got to be top 70 to get into those players in 2 weeks' time. So he's playing some great golf. He was right in the mix last week. He clearly realises he needs to get some top five performances or hopefully sneak another win. He was the 2024 John Deere Classic winner on bent grass greens in Illinois, which neighbours where we are in Michigan. But you look at his four appearances here, he's generated almost over $750,000 here. 58th, 24th, second in 2024, and 35th in 2025. So yeah, I ended up with Davis Thompson, a point each way, 50-1 with Betfred, eight places each way. If I remember correctly, I'm just looking at my numbers here, he was second for tee to green last week at the 3M Open.
Yeah, you mentioned him earlier. Yeah.
He was, yes. Coyven one, Davis Thompson two. All we've got to hope for, Barry, is that we can have a, similar to what he did last week and the outing before, just something positive in terms of the putting. Now, I don't need 10 strokes going putting, but it'd be nice if he could gain two and a half over 72 holes, something of that ilk, and he'd be right in the mix. Because his tee to green game is fantastic. My last selection is a triple-digit selection. So, is there anything else, Barry, that's interesting you at bigger prices before I go through my last section, or Paul go through his?
I'll probably put a little each way on Joel Damon.
I found him at number one on my tee to green ranking over the last 8 weeks.
Something good bubbling there, and on, let's say, just it's a fresh set of greens for everybody, so maybe that just wipes that putting pressure off or out of his mind, and he can just go for it this week. So yeah, I just thought that I like backing Joel, like watching him, so there's enough there for a crazy ass price, so I just got to find the right right price for 12 places.
I'll check myself. He's number six across my 8 week numbers. I think what it was and what I'm referencing, he was first at Corrales 2 weeks ago for tee to green. So I'd have read that number out at the start of last week's podcast. Yeah, he's in rude health from tee to green. It's as ever with Joel. It's whether you can find a week where he can actually putt positively.
Mm-hmm.
Any more from you, Paul? Or are you on a bigger price than me? Because I'm 125-1.
Yeah, it's around 200. Depends.
Okay. Well, let me go first. I've gone for a player. Let's do it in price order. I've gone for a player. Again, I just look through these deeper positions on the FedEx Cup, and I'm looking for someone that's hungry. I'm looking for someone that needs to do something now. And, you know, you're flicking through and you're trying to relate that to your tee to green numbers and the statistics that you're looking for that you think are going to work this week. And I came to the thought process that I would rather get someone on board that's won a lot of golf tournaments, almost a bit like Lucas Glover a few years ago when we managed to snare him at the Wyndham Championship, and he then went on to win the FedEx St. Jude in the next week of the first week of the playoffs. Because that's the kind of character I was looking for. We have said this is a bomber's track till this point. We don't know what the renovation's going to do. But also, you find a lot of names in there that find fairways and are fantastic with their approach play. Now, I've got to say, right now, Billy Horschel is actually in that kind of space. So I grabbed him a point each way at 125-1 with Betfred eight places each way, Billy Horschel. And the beauty with Billy is you're actually finding a player here. He's 102nd in the FedEx Cup standings. So he's over 30 spots down on where he needs to be in the playoffs. And the beauty with Billy is he can actually win golf tournaments. He's an eight-time winner on the PGA Tour. And with our ilk, we would throw in the 2021 and the 2024 BMW PGA Championships at Wentworth. This guy can win, and he can win big tournaments. Wentworth, tree-lined, relatively tight, can be low-scoring. So, you know, you just know with Billy, he does like a old-style golf course. But you actually look at his last recent outings. He was 15th at the RBC Canadian Open. He was 7th after 54 holes. And last week, 6th after 54 holes at the 3M Open, he finished 13th. He's playing really nicely. He was 6th for strokes gained off the tee, 5th for approach, 3rd for tee to green at TPC Twin Cities last week. And if you look at that in terms of old money, the old traditional statistics, 11th for total driving, 8th for greens in reg, and 6th for ball striking. Plus, and this was the thing that you scratch the surface with these things, he's an absolute Donald Ross design demon. Loves a Ross design. 3rd at Aronimink in 2018. He's got a 1st, a 2nd, and 2 7ths at Eastlake. And we all know that Billy Horschel is Mr. Wyndham Championship. 5th, 6th, 2nd, 4th and 7th at Sedgefield Country Club. He was 17th here on his only visit way back in 2019. He shot an 8 under 64 on Sunday, which was joint best round with Victor Hovland. So Billy Horschel, a point each way, 125-1 with Betfred, 8 places each way, via their extended market facility. I think it's called Pick Your Places, that's it. So that's me. Horschel, Davis Thompson, Ryan Gerrard, Jake Knapp and Cam Young. Paul, who you want at big prices?
Yeah, the other one I've backed is Kevin Roy, who... Well, the headline price is 200-1. The best option out there right now is 190-1 with 8 places with Bet365. Roy opened with a 62 here last year, first round leader, finished 8th in the end. So I'd very much take that again this year. 94th currently in the FedEx Cup. So he seriously needs to crack on if he's going to be playing at the St. Jude in fortnight's time. But caught the eye recently. I think we mentioned him in the Open Championship podcast because he played really well at Renaissance the week before. Mm. Tied 11th, just missed out on the one of those places, one of those final three places at the Open in the end. Went back, played the two alternate events. 31st last week at the 3M Open, opened with a 65, so he was 5th after the first round. Led greens in regulation at the Corrales the week before that. He led the putting average in old money in Scotland in that week. 2nd for strokes going around the green as well, which again kind of ties in with what I was talking about with Hideki. So lots of good numbers just washing through. And I was interested to see what price he'd be coming up at. So I was pleasantly surprised to get a really healthy three-figure price on Kevin Roy this week. 3rd at Myrtle Beach earlier in the season. I think he needs something similar this week if he's going to be getting close to that top 70. So I think motivation levels should be pretty high with Kevin this week. And as I say, got some course form from last year. So it all seemed to tie in quite nicely, I must say. So yeah, Kevin Roy for me. See how he goes.
If you're looking just for a final list here, here are players that are around that bubble. So they're currently sitting around this top 70. I'll start from 66. Fisk, Jordan Smith, are you on last week, Paul? Ricky Castillo, Teal Bjornsson and Jackson Koivun. They're in at the moment looking out and then looking into that 10 for big money. Putnam, Meisner, I've got to say it after last week, Johnny Kiefer, who I've completely ignored. Jason Day, someone sent me an X message yesterday saying, you know, Steve, that Johnny Kiefer's going to win because you haven't tipped him up. Johnny Kiefer, Jason Day, Austin Smotherman, and our old friend Barry, Keegan Bradley's at 76. So those are the players that are immediately looking in at this FedEx Cup playoff party with two events to go.
Why are you trying to poke the bear and just looping me on a Keegan Bradley fan club?
He does tend to win from nowhere, doesn't he, Bradley? 60-1, I'm seeing. Let's hope not.
This is how you talk yourself into just backing a whole lot of golfers. Yeah, don't do it.
Brooks Koepka, 84th in the standings. Tony Finau, 87th. You've got some big, big names here that aren't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it needs to be a really, really strong finish to get close now, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Interesting. The whole year with Koepka has been interesting, in my opinion. Just the way, you know, Billy Horschel at 102. Just been interesting. Marco Penge, he could be one for this week, you know, 107. Playing some very nice golf over in the UK and did well in the BMW International. Mm. So there's going to be some of these names that you're going to see at the top of the leaderboard this week, undoubtedly.
Brooks right, I hope your bet season is nuts, isn't it, though? No, just saying, Brooks' season is nuts. Like the amount of times we've thought he's going to pop this week, and I mean, look, he's eighth in strokes gained approach. He's 29th in strokes gained total, and he's was he 85th, he said in the FedEx Cup.
84th. Yeah.
84th. Okay, so it just the numbers don't add up. It's almost like they have like a returning live defector penalty applied to his points, or his position or something.
What's his strokes gained putting number? I think that might be the problem.
Yeah. He's 115th, so he's losing 0.2 per round.
Yep. Yeah. His putter's been the real problem this year. Well, I hope your bets go well, chaps.
You too,
best
boys.
Best luck, boys.
Best luck to listeners. We'll be back. We won't be back next week. We're going to have the week off. Holiday season. So we're going to be back in a fortnight. So no podcast next week. There will, though. I will be putting out the full data suite for the Wyndham Championship at Golf Betting System. I'll put out my preview next Monday, but no podcast for next week. Right, press that Spotify 5-star button for us and like us on YouTube if you made it this far. And we will see you in a fortnight's time. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved. With all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the Golf Betting System. The Golf Betting System. It's the Golf Betting System.